as you can see, the setup's a little bit different this morning, and hopefully the Lord may have some good things in store for us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that one day he will be seen and known as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but we thank you for the privilege we have of receiving him as our God, our Lord, our Savior, even today. And then to begin to learn more about all that involves and all the wonderful blessings that you have in store for us as believers. Oh Lord, please give us hearts that just earnestly desire your word, hearts that would just yearn to do what you are calling us to do, hearts that would desire to, above all else, to do our Master's will. Oh Lord, help us to have hearts that gladly receive your word this morning, and may it just be obeyed as quickly as possible in each of our lives, in each one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that according to your mercy, that you'd even speak to hearts this morning, perhaps some who at this point, they do not know where they would spend eternity. Lord, we pray that you'd give them ears to hear this morning, and that they would hear what you have to say to them through your word, and how you desire for them to become your children through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as their only hope of salvation. Please speak to our hearts this morning, we pray, in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are going to talk about the most amazing gift that you could ever receive. No matter how young you are or how old you are, this is the most amazing gift that you could ever receive. Perhaps you've had a birthday or a Christmas where you were really looking forward to getting a certain gift. Well, all those other gifts you may have been hoping for, they're like nothing compared to this gift. And this is a gift that God wants every single... every single one of you. He wants you to receive it. Because he loves us all that much. It's the best gift that you can ever receive. And it's something he wants you to have. Let's open the package and see what's in this gift and see what all is wrapped up within this amazing gift that God wants you to receive. Perhaps some of you have received this gift already. Perhaps some of you have not yet received this gift. Maybe some of you have received this gift, but you haven't yet been experiencing all the joys and the blessings and haven't yet unwrapped and unpackaged, so to speak, all the details and privileges that this gift brings to us, that God wants you to enjoy. From God's word that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God is over all. The Bible teaches us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is the famous one whose fame will endure forever. This world may have some famous people, but none of them will be as famous as our great and awesome God. And our great and awesome God, the one who is more loving and more powerful and knows more than anyone else, he wants us each to experience this perfect gift that he has for us. The central message of the Bible teaches us about who God is, and that God is love. And that God in love, He created the world. He created people. And He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him. Can you imagine having the privilege of talking with the God of the universe, the one who made everything? We're not talking about a sports star. We're not talking about the President of the United States. We're not talking about a United Nations leader. We're talking about the one who is over all, the one who made everything, and the one that everybody will ultimately answer to. In this great and awesome God, He wants you to be drawn into relationship with Him. He loves you. And the Bible teaches us about how we all have a problem. It's a serious problem. It's worse than cancer. It's the problem of sin. God tells us in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. None of us is righteous before God on our own. None of us always does right. And there's a consequence to sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. In other words, what we earned or deserved because of breaking God's commands, disobeying God, we deserve to be judged because of our sins, and physically to die and spiritually to be separated from God forever. Think about this question. Have you ever lied? I hope that if I were to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever lied, I hope that we would all raise our hands and not lie about the answer to that question. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 where all liars will end up if they do not realize their great need and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Do you want to go to the lake of fire? I hope you realize that hell is a real place. I realize it might not be popular to talk about hell. It might not be politically correct. However, popularity does not determine truth. And God's given us the truth in His Word. And you can look it up for yourself. Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 21, the second to last chapter, verse 8. It says there that all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's where I deserved to go, was to the lake of fire. But I'm so thankful that God in His love drew me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, knowing that we would be sinners, He promised many times in many ways through different prophets, people who speaking for God, that God would one day send His Son to be the Savior of the world. Perhaps you know the verse, John 3:16, which tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In other words, if you don't want to go to the lake of fire, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, who died and shed His blood so that your sins and mine can be washed away and forgiven forever. We know from God's Word that the Lord Jesus, He not only died on the cross for our sins, but God teaches us in His Word that He was buried. They took His body and put it into a tomb. But after 3 days, He rose from the dead. And He appeared alive again to His followers, those who believed on Him. He appeared to hundreds at one time, and they saw Him risen. He even ate and allowed them to touch Him. The Lord Jesus physically rose from the dead. What an amazing God, what an amazing Savior you can have. The one who made everything and then loved you so much, He was willing to come into this world where He knew that people in general were going to hate Him. Why would they hate Him? Because He told them the truth about their sin. And even as we know in the laws of our land today, we see it again and again that people in general, sadly, they like sin and they don't want to turn from it. They don't want to call it wrong. But sin is sin, no matter what people say. And Jesus spoke the truth. in love. But people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds, the things they did, were evil. And so they hated him and they wanted him dead. But God had promised through his prophets that this promised one, his son, Emmanuel, God with us, would not only come and suffer and die for our sins, but that one day he would come back and he would reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and revealed in his power, in his glory. And one day that is yet to happen upon this earth. We know from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word who is God, we know from verse 14 in that chapter that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The perfect Son of God, God himself came, became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? So that he could live as the light of the world and ultimately shed his blood so that you can be forgiven for your sins, so that I could be forgiven for my sins. God tells us in John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says this: he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The Lord Jesus came to his own creation, and even his own people, the Jews, who were to be the children of God as a light, that the world might come to the light, yet they rejected the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this wonderful promise in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We know from Acts chapter 17 that we are all the offspring of God in the sense that God has created us. But not all of us are children of God in the sense that we've been born from above, spiritually born of God through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question for you today is, what about you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born of God? Are you a child of God? Not merely the offspring of God in the sense that God created you, but knowing that 100% you will go to heaven because you've realized, God, I'm a guilty sinner. There's no way I can get to heaven by the good things I do or by going to church or reading the Bible. It's good to go to church. It's good to read the Bible. But God tells us clearly in his Word, these things can never take us to heaven. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Realizing, God, I need the Lord Jesus. I need to be saved, and call on him to save you. The Bible tells us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That doesn't mean that if you decided that you wanted a Ferrari for Christmas and you asked God for a Ferrari, that you're going to be saved and not go to hell. That's not what it's talking about by calling on the Lord and being saved. It's talking about realizing you're a guilty sinner. You have no hope of ever getting to heaven unless you put your trust 100% in the Lord Jesus as your Savior to wash your sins, to save you from the penalty of sin so that you won't go to hell in the lake of fire, to save you from the power of sin in your life so that you can live for God, and one day to save you from the presence of sin and to take you to be with our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave the greatest of gifts. He gave his Son so that you and I can be washed clean from our sins through his blood that was shed about 2,000 years ago. He died once for all. He never needs to die again. It's not a continual process, because once for all, he shed his blood so that we can be forgiven. He died as the perfect sacrifice because he is God. Though he became flesh and dwelt among us, yet he was perfect. He had never sinned, so there was no sin that he had done for which he deserved to die. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. He was the one perfect person who has ever lived. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read about in John 1:12, where it said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children or sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. When an individual receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, in receiving God himself, you receive the best gift that you could ever receive. And packed up in that gift is eternal life. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be with God forever, there's only one way to get there, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, to put your trust in him who died for our sins, rose from the dead, eventually ascended up into heaven. And he wants to dwell in your heart by faith. He wants you to believe on him, to receive him into your innermost being, and to become a child of God through trusting him only to forgive you of your sins. Let's go back to one of the most amazing times in history, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ himself was walking upon this earth that he had created. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, in the end of verse 18, says this. The Lord Jesus was speaking, and he was making a promise. He was prophesying as the perfect prophet. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The Lord Jesus promised that he was going to build his church. He was going to call people out of this sinful world to himself, and they were going to begin assembling and gathering in his name. Now let's take a look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Here's something the Lord Jesus said after he had risen from the dead, speaking to his disciples who saw him alive, risen, never to die again. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples or followers, students of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord Jesus wanted all people, all nations, to know about him. And so he commanded his disciples that they would go and make more disciples, more students, more followers. And if you've become a follower of the Lord Jesus, you fit into that process to now go and make more disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he works in us to will and to do, as God works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter was speaking to the Jewish people, perhaps some of the same Jewish people who had cried out, days earlier, crucify him, crucify him, wanting the Lord Jesus, the perfect one, to be put to death. And he was telling them to repent, to change their mind, to realize they'd done the wrong thing in wishing the perfect Son of God to be crucified. He called them to repent, to change their mind, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what happened as we pick up in verse 40. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." It was a wicked and perverse generation back then. We still live in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation now. And God wants you to be saved from the perverse generation among which we live. To be saved from sin. To be saved from the grip of sin. And to come to God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what happened. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. What did those words gladly received mean? I looked it up in Strong's Bible Concordance, and it said to take fully, to welcome with pleasure. Is that your desire this morning? To take fully, to welcome with pleasure God's word as God speaks to you this morning about his perfect Son, who you need to receive to be your Savior if you're ever going to be saved. Will you this morning gladly receive God's word and take fully and welcome with pleasure the truths of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your God, your Lord? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. We know from God's word that baptism is something that God calls each believer to do after they get saved. In Scripture, we see baptism as something that follows believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not baptism that saves us, it's believing on the Lord Jesus that saves us. But once we've believed on him, we're to identify with the Lord Jesus in baptism. We're to be baptized. And we know from Romans chapter 6 that baptism is a picture physically of what spiritually happens when someone receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Going down under the water is an illustration of dying to sin, dying to the old self, dying to one's old ways of living for oneself and not for God. And then as one comes up out of the water, it's a picture of being risen to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you gladly received God's word? If you've received his word and you've been saved, have you been baptized? It's very interesting that if you look into the New Testament scripture, I don't know of a single place where it shows someone being baptized more than 3 days after they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What should that show us? That this is essential. This is important. This is a step of obedience that God wants every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to take. We could look at the example of Philip in Acts chapter 8 and how he believed. And then he saw water and he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And he said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he was baptized that very day, right after believing. We could look at Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius, a man of great authority, a centurion, he and his household, they heard God's word, they believed, and Peter then commanded them to be baptized since they'd believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16, we could look at a businesswoman named Lydia who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and having believed, she was baptized. We could look at the jailkeeper in the city of Philippi, and his family, and how hearing God's word, they believed. In that very night, they were baptized. Those who gladly received his word were baptized. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus and haven't yet been baptized, I would encourage you to talk to perhaps one of the elders as soon as possible and ask if a plan can be made to be baptized. This is something that's very important to God. We see it practiced throughout the book of Acts as people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. I will read again, starting at the end of verse 40, just so you can see the connection. Peter was testifying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. In that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's our privilege to go. It's our privilege to go and gather with God's people who are assembled to do these things that it talks about in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42. No matter what color we are, no matter where we're from, that doesn't matter, because the Bible tells us that God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, so that people might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from us. God wants us each to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized, and then to go and gather with God's people to continue steadfastly in these four things that are listed here. What does it mean to continue steadfastly? I looked up the meaning of that word also in Strong's Bible Concordance, and it said this: continued steadfastly, be earnest towards, persevere, be constantly diligent, attend assiduously to all the exercises of a church, for instance. It's the same Greek word used in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, where the apostles said that they would give themselves to God's word and to prayer. That they would give ourselves, they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. God wants us to give ourselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. I have a little illustration for you here. And you may have noticed in the painting that there is a table. It's kind of hidden amongst everything else. But I want you to imagine someone who wants to live a solid Christian life, gladly receiving God's word. What happens if they decide, well, you know what? The apostles' doctrine, gathering with God's people to be taught from God's word, maybe I don't really need that. I can read the Bible on my own. Well, God has given gifted men to teach within the church to help us to accurately understand the truth of God. And it's important for us to gather with God's people to be taught from God's word. The Lord Jesus, he taught his disciples. He told them to go and teach others. The Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to remind them of the things he'd taught his disciples. They've been recorded for us in the Bible, and now we can read them, and it's our privilege to do it both in private as well as gathered with God's people. What if we were to say, fellowship, gathering with God's people, that's not for me. I'm a shy person, so, I'm not going to gather with God's people. And I'm not going to take time to visit with them. What happens? There are these sort of pillar truths, these great things that God wants us to participate in, being taught from God's word with his people, fellowshipping with God's people. Fellowship can take place before the meetings, after the meetings, as we gather and encourage one another. Sometimes even during the meetings, there's opportunities to share about what God's been doing and to encourage one another in the Lord. What if someone says, well, the breaking of bread, gathering with God's people to break bread, remembering the Lord Jesus, that's just not so important to me. I don't see why it's important. But the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that we were purchased with his own blood, those of us who believed on him. And he commanded his disciples, he said, do this in remembrance of me. It's something that's dear to the heart of God, and it should be dear to each of our hearts as believers. And it's so important for us to gather with God's people to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of bread, as is done each Sunday here at 9:30. What if we say, you know what? I can pray at home. I don't need to pray with God's people. I'm strong. I'm proud. I can live the life God's called me to live on my own. It won't work. You will have a broken down Christian life. You will not be living the fruitful and abundant life that God has designed for you. Wrapped up in this package of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we unpack it, we see that there are these amazing privileges that God wants us to enjoy of gathering with his people, to be taught from his word, to fellowship with his people, to break bread, remembering his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us, and to pray with God's people. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. It's good for teaching, for reproof, for showing us where we're wrong, for correction, so that we can correct what's wrong and not keep falling into the same traps of sin, and for instruction in righteousness. And so God desires for us to be learning from his word, both private as well as publicly. He has given each believer the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word of God. God wants us to, as it says in Peter, he wants us to earnestly desire the pure milk of the word of God, so that we can grow by it. Once we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't want us to remain immature as Christians. He wants to grow up in all things into him who is the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. What does the head do? It's through the head that instructions are given to the body. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are what God calls us. He calls us the body of Christ. So if God is giving us these instructions, but we're not doing them, something's wrong. We're not listening to the head. We're not gladly receiving his word. And if we are doing them, we can experience great joy in walking in the light of God's word. Psalm 119, 105 talks about how the entrance of God's word gives light. And as we walk in that light, we can live in fellowship with God, close communion, enjoying that relationship, as well as in close fellowship with other believers who are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with God in the light. Sunday mornings at 11, we gather to be taught from God's word, as well as many Sunday evenings at 6:30. The message at 6:30 is different from the Sunday morning one. So it's additional teaching that's good to come and to hear and to learn from. Usually on Wednesday nights, there's a prayer meeting. Though in the winter we have the home Bible studies, and hopefully there's some prayer that takes place there in addition to the prayer that takes place during the other regularly scheduled meetings of the church on Sundays. So God calls us to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. He also calls us to continue steadfastly, to persevere in fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 is a beautiful chapter about fellowship, which talks about how as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our fellowship is with the Father, God the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And in order to be enjoying that fellowship, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. And if we realize we've sinned, God provides a cure, something for us to do. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that then again we can walk in joy with the Lord. I know a believer who had known the Lord for some time, but he hadn't experienced the reality of 1 John 1:9 of confessing his sin to God right after he knows that it happens, instead of putting it off a long time. And his life as a believer for some time was rather frustrating, not very joyful. And then one summer, he grabbed hold of that verse and he understood it. And he started confessing his sin right after he realized he'd sinned, whether a sin of the mind or of the mouth or of attitude or of action. And he then shared with me about, wow, how joyful the Christian life becomes when we confess our sin and walk in the light, walk, seeking to walk in constant fellowship with our awesome God. Fellowship is partnership. It's participation together. It has to do with having things in common. Now, people in the world, they have some things in common, like maybe a favorite sports team, or maybe they have the same job, or maybe they earn a similar amount of money, or maybe they live in the same community. But this is a fellowship that goes much deeper, much, much deeper than that. This is a fellowship which we enter into through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we've put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He, the one who died for us on the cross and rose again and is one day coming again, when we've received Him, then we can have fellowship both with God as well as with His people, encouraging one another up in the Lord, building one another up in the Lord. As you come each week to gather with God's people in obedience to the Lord, out of love for Him, I would encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, is there someone there who you want me to talk to today? Is there someone you may want me to encourage or to challenge from your word or to exhort or to comfort in some way as we gather? And then to seek to be led by God's Spirit, even in the fellowship that takes place before the meetings, after the meetings, in between the meetings. It's an amazing fellowship that God calls us into as new creatures in Christ. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God desires for us to continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about how the Lord Jesus, on the same night during which He was betrayed, He took bread and He took the cup. And the bread He said that it was His body in the cup. He said that its contents were His blood. Now, as we take the bread and we take the cup, remembering how the Lord Jesus' body was broken for us and how His blood was shed, we take these emblems, remembering that His body was broken for me. His blood was shed for me. And many of you know from personal experience that if you take the time to continue steadfastly in these things that God's called each of us as believers to continue steadfastly in, that it has an effect on our lives. Because as we week by week remember the Lord Jesus breaking the bread and taking of the cup, we remember, we take time to meditate upon how, wow, the Son of God, He loved me and gave Himself for me. And then as we remember that, and as we dwell upon that, it changes our lives, because we realize if He died for me, my life is to be lived is out of love and obedience to Him. I would encourage you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized as soon as possible, and then continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in case there's anyone who hasn't noticed, many of you probably noticed that what I'm doing is I'm making the letters out of the background color. So in case you haven't picked up on that yet, each of these things being painted are different words, bringing out the themes of what we see there in Acts 2, 41 and 42, and in other places. God wants us to continue steadfastly with His people in prayers. God calls us to cast all our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. Many times we pray for physical needs, whether it be related to resources or whether it be related to our health. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the great physician and so much more. And the Lord Jesus often used physical healings to remind people, to illustrate the spiritual healing that He wants to do in lives. And I would encourage you to write down these references. These are some references that my dad had put together of some New Testament prayers. And I would encourage you to look up these prayers and to start praying these prayers for yourself as well as for the church as a whole. And I think that if each of us do that, I think that we will just begin to see God healing us spiritually in ways beyond what we imagined, to love and honor and live for Him. One is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. Another is Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Let me just share with you quickly. I will read one of these prayers and you'll see just how huge this prayer is. Paul was writing to the church in Colossae and he said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and..." Different translation than I'm used to, so I didn't know if there was a typo there or not. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Do you see how encompassing that prayer is and how it's focused on the spiritual need to grow in the Lord and receive His wisdom and understanding, to have the patience that He can provide to endure through whatever He calls us to do, and to have the strength so that we would continue in what God's called us to do. May the Lord help us in praying these prayers for one another, both as we're gathered together as well as privately. God's desire for us is that we would gladly receive His word and that we would continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Again, I mentioned usually on Wednesday nights there's a prayer meeting. This Wednesday night, Lord willing, there will be a prayer meeting here at the chapel. Many weeks during the winter we have home Bible studies, but this week, Lord willing, we'll be praying for missionaries all around the world. I would encourage you to come. If you're able to come and you don't come, you're missing out, because it's a marvelous time of hearing what God is doing and taking part, fellowshipping in the work God's doing all over the world as collectively we pray for the believers. And if you're a sister in the Lord, that's okay. Don't think that your time coming here will be wasted. It won't, because a brother will be leading in prayer, but that doesn't mean you're not to be praying. All people, whether audibly or silently, are to be praying along with the one who's leading us in prayer. Though the brothers pray audibly, because God teaches us that in His Word, yet the sisters and the brothers who aren't praying audibly, they're to be praying right along, you know, the same things as God leads. And then as they add their amen at the end, everybody was praying. It wasn't just one person praying, and it's a privilege we have as God's people to be involved in that. My wife and I might not be here this Wednesday, just so you know, because Lord willing, we may be heading out to Missouri for a couple weeks to go to a wedding and visit family and visit some churches out there. And we do hope, Lord willing, to be with an assembly en route to meet with God's people. Are you experiencing the joy that God has for you due to walking in fellowship with God? Number one, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then obeying God and being baptized as a believer and continuing steadfastly, gathering with God's people. We do it here at 9:30 each Sunday morning to break bread, remembering the Lord Jesus. Take the cup, remembering His blood which was shed for us. Gathering to hear God's word taught. To encourage one another in the Lord. Taking time. It's a privilege we have, even after the meeting's done, if you don't have something other else, a pressing need, to linger with God's people and to encourage one another, to see how each other are doing, because then you can better know how to pray for one another, how to be a blessing to each other. And we should continue steadfastly as well in prayers. The Lord Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." In Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 46, the Lord Jesus said this. He was speaking to a group of people, and he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me," to the Lord Jesus, he said, "whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard the Lord Jesus' word and did nothing, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The Lord Jesus, God, does not want any of us to be like that house that fell, and the fall of which was great. He desires for us to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Him as our Savior, to receive eternal life believing in Him, and not only to call Him Lord, Lord, but to do the things which He commands us to do because we love Him. And as we do it, not out of duty, but out of love and obedience, because we honor Him as our Lord and our God, we experience tremendous joy that cannot be found in this world with all the sinful pleasures or distractions that are out there. The Lord Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, O God, for being so good to us. We thank You, God, for giving us Your word and for allowing it to be proclaimed here this morning. Thank You for the freedoms that we have in this land to do it publicly. We pray, Lord, for those who are in other lands where they're persecuted for doing so, and where they, some of them may meet at midnight or in the middle of the night out in the woods because they might be put in jail or killed if people knew what they were doing. Lord, we pray that You'd strengthen them and that You'd strengthen us so that whatever persecution we may face, that we would live through it in the manner pleasing to You, that we would rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is our reward in heaven, because people treated the prophets who came before, they persecuted them also. So help us, O Lord, not to complain when we face persecution, but to endure it with joy, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we pray, please help each one here to gladly receive Your word and to continue and to be baptized after believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to be baptized, showing the world that they're now dead to their sin, their old way of living, and now they're alive to live for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They have new life in Him. And then help them, Lord, we pray, to continue steadfastly gathering with Your people and to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. O Lord, help us not to have the foolish thought that any one of these things is insignificant or unimportant for our lives, but help us to hear Your word, to hear what our God has to say to us, and be like that individual who built his house upon the rock, and it stood firm. Thank You, God, for giving us the truth so that we can know it, and out of love so that we can obey it. We thank You in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have just a few more words to fill in here, as you might have noticed. God wants us to go and gather with His people. And another part of growing as a believer is to take time to read God's word. It would be good for each one of us to take time every day at the home, at the workplace, during a lunch break, whenever God leads you to fit it in, to take time to read God's word and allow Him to teach you, to meditate on, to consider deeply the things that God says. And as we read them, to be like that one who built his house on the rock, because in that story the Lord Jesus told, both of them heard the word of God. But there was a crucial difference between the two. One heard and did nothing. And it did not, and we read about the fall that such an individual has. But the other, they heard God's word and they obeyed. So as God calls us to grow in Him, we're to go and gather with God's people for these things. We're to read God's word. We're to obey God's word. And with such an amazing truth as we have, knowing the cure to the world's greatest problem, knowing the best gift that anyone could ever receive, God Himself, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing that greatest of gifts, it would be to our shame if we would not go and share it with others. Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so it's our privilege, as God leads us and empowers us by His Spirit, to go forth into this world, into the yet perverse generation, and to call them, even as God called us, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. So you see it there, G-R-O-W. That's what God wants each of us to do as believers, not to remain where we've been and just continue as usual, but to put into practice these things that God has taught us from His Word. May the Lord bless you and guide you. Thank you for your patience. Please forgive me for going long. If any of you need to leave right away, you may. But if you don't have a pressing need, I would encourage you to stay behind and take some time to fellowship with God's people. Or maybe there are some here who, if you were to ask yourself the question, am I going to heaven? You say, you know, I really don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to know. Please come and talk to me or talk to someone else and ask them to explain to you again how you can be forgiven of your sins and receive eternal life through putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. May the Lord bless you, and may He continue to lead us all in loving and living for Him. Praise the Lord.